let's just dive into it. Okay.
Hey, you guys, this is the Mean Magazine podcast, and I'm your host, Kristen Filipkowski. The Mean podcast is where I talk to creative, curious, and ambitious women of all ages who are brave enough to be honest on social media and beyond. They're not afraid to show their flaws, and they're finding success and joy while they're at it. Hi, everyone. Hello from Pacifica, California, during the coronavirus quarantine. I hope you're all staying safe and sane out there. This interview was recorded about a week before California's shelter-in-place directive, and it seems crazy that Andy and I were sitting on a couch together, albeit several feet away from each other, and we did not shake hands or hug. We were blissfully ignorant of how serious the social distancing thing was about to get. In any case, I'm really excited to share with you this interview with Andy Shine, whom I met in Winnie Lingovic's yoga class in our hometown of Pacifica. I could tell right away that Andy and I were going to be friends. Her wild curly hair and her cool girl vibe made me want to get to know her better, and I'm so glad recording this podcast provided that opportunity. Andy is an ocean swimmer, which is a big reason I wanted to interview her. It's a scary thing to do, especially in the Pacific Ocean, which is rough and very cold. And why scary things are worth doing turned out to be a theme of our conversation. It turns out being a mom, quitting your job to break out on your own, and getting through a challenging yoga class can all be just as intimidating as swimming in the Pacific Ocean. I hope you enjoy the podcast. I am so excited to have with me today Andy Shine. I didn't ask you if it was like Sheen or Shine.
Shine.
Okay. Shine, which is an awesome name, number one.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time to do this, especially in the time of coronavirus. It's insane.
We'll always remember this.
We will always remember this for so many reasons.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited that you're in my house right now.
I am too. It's awesome.
Thank you. Andy and I met in our good friend Winnie's yoga class, which we're both completely enamored of. And also I interviewed Winnie on another podcast, so I'll put the link to that below.
That is an awesome interview.
Thank you. It's, you know, not that I pick favorites, but I really like that one.
It's really
it's a good one. But I am very excited to interview you, Andy, because we've met in yoga. We don't know each other super well. So number one, I'm very excited to get to know you better. And then also to talk about the really interesting thing that you do. I'm sure you do a lot of interesting things, but I was very intrigued to learn that you swim in the Pacific Ocean on a regular basis, which is sounds so terrifying and uncomfortable to me that I'm just really excited to talk to you about it. But maybe first we could get to know you just a little bit better. I know that you are a mom here in Pacifica, mm-hmm. and that we go to the same yoga class, and that you focus on special education in your career, right?
Yes, I'm a writing coach, but I was a classroom teacher for like 20 years here in the Bay Area. So that's another thing. When I was listening to your podcast and all these rad women who are, you know, following their paths.
Yeah.
You know? And I was like, oh yeah, I did a scary thing. I think maybe there's this theme that's going to come up of like doing scary things, even if they're scary.
Yeah. Yes.
Like leaving your job.
Yes.
And then trying your own new job.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So what grade did you teach? You were in...
Well, I've taught everything from high school, public special ed, and then most recently I taught 7th grade humanities, but I've taught 2nd grade, 4th grade, 5th grade.
Wow.
I taught at a non-public school in the city where I worked with kids of middle school age who were all quote-unquote like referred out of the district, so
oh, wow.
You know, pretty hard scrabble. I've had a lot of different teaching experiences.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah.
We need educators like you.
I worked at McAteer before it got reconstituted and only turned into SODA. You know where SODA is now. That was a big public school. I worked there in the special ed department for years.
Oh, wow.
In the early 90s.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And did you live in the city as well?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I lived in the city and moved to Pacifica. It'll be 18 years this June.
Wow.
Yeah, we moved in and then our daughter was like born in our bedroom a week to the day we moved in.
Oh my God.
Did you plan
to give birth in the bedroom or did that just happen?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We planned to have a home birth.
It wasn't like a
But we didn't know surprise. We were going to have a house to have it in.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Which was kind of rad.
That's amazing.
And that's what brought us to Pacifica. Actually, my acupuncturist.
Oh, was here?
It's her house.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, we ended up buying her house.
Oh, that's
amazing.
It's
a crazy story.
Oh, really? Do we want to hear that story?
I mean, my midwife connected me with my acupuncturist, and I was working full-time at Galileo High School. I was in school clearing my second credential full-time, and I had no more time to see Carol in her office in the city.
Oh.
And I was like, Carol, I can't come anymore. Like, I just don't have any time. She said, oh, come, I'll treat you in my house on the weekends.
And that was your acupuncturist?
Yes.
Okay.
And so John and I had been looking for somewhere to live because we were in kind of a gnarly situation in what is now like gentrified dog patch, which was not then. And our upstairs neighbor was like a junkie and selling whatever and like, you know, her bathtub would like flood down into our apartment. I was huge and pregnant. We were like, we can't have this baby here. Like, you know, people are knocking on the door at all hours.
But you wanted a home birth.
Yeah. We were having a home birth.
But you were like, this place is not.
Well, we were looking. We were like, oh, we can't just wait. It was felt like not a great place to be with a baby. Like, you can have a baby anywhere.
Right.
Having a baby is great. Anywhere you do it, you can have it. But, like, living with a baby and it was just not best circumstance.
Right.
And so then when I came to Carol's house, I was like, Carol Fong, I love your house so much. It's so wonderful. And I had never really been to Pacifica, even though I lived in the city forever.
Yeah.
And then
so many San Franciscans say the same thing. I was the same. I was like,
it's so far away.
It seems so far. It's so foggy. It's cold and, you know, everything. Yeah.
I'm like, shh. Yeah. Best kept secret.
Yeah, it's really terrible here. Yeah. Don't tell anyone.
So then she was like, well, I'm moving to Berkeley. How about my house?
God.
And like literally we sat around her kitchen table and then we kind of moved all of our stuff in and I was like, okay, as long as like, I think I can have a baby in here as long as there's not boxes everywhere.
Right.
And like, we should try to get as unpacked as we can. And then we did. A week later, I had my daughter.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It was
awesome.
Oh my
God. And she is now
almost 18.
Oh my God. And she's still in, she's in high school.
Yeah. She's in high school, a senior at Waldorf. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But my kids went to Ocean Shore too.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like
yeah, where my kid goes.
Yeah.
It's been such a traumatic year.
Oh, I know.
Flooded out school and now the virus. It's so crazy.
This year, it has been crazy.
Yeah, it's been really crazy. So, wow. So you've lived in this little beach town of Pacifica for 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you had your career continued to work in the city then?
Uh-huh. Always. Yeah.
Okay. And then I think you told me you recently kind of went out on your own.
Yeah.
So now you kind of switched up your career a little bit.
Yeah, totally. I left the classroom and started a private practice working with kids one-on-one.
Sort
of being like a writing and executive function coach, tutor, whatever.
For kids.
Yeah, okay. But I work with all ages. I mean, I have a student who's on a gap year. I have high school through, you know, about third grade.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I know.
Excellent.
It's so far so good, but it's very scary. To
be out on your own.
And I've never done that. But it was time, you know, to make a change. And I thought, if not now, when? And I'm in my, like, you know, half century, midlife, existential fold.
Yes.
So I went for it.
Good for you. And how did you, was there like something that got you to make the jump? Or was it just sort of a gradual buildup?
Well, it was, I love the kids and I love teaching English, right? But then I was sort of like, it's hard to, I just was feeling like maybe my time in the classroom was coming to a close. Mm. And then my dad died. Mm. And I was like, oh, it's very cliche. I mean, it's all very cliche. I was like, oh, I'm going to die someday. Life is short.
Yes.
And then I was having like, just like a visceral, do you know when something's inside of your body before you can even articulate it was in my body? Like I would be like weepy when I left the house in the morning to go to work. And I was having like in a staff meeting, I was like, all I could think about was I'm never going to get this hour and a half back. Like,
wow.
You know, I was having a visceral experience that I had to check in with. And I was like, oh, you may need to make a change. And then I got certified as a holistic health counselor. And I was like, that sounds like exactly up my alley. And it was weird. I could not monetize it. Like no part of it was coming through for me.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, this must not be it because I can't get any purchase on this.
Oh, yeah. You went to school for that?
Yeah, I did like an online class and I was really kind of steeped in that. And I had a friend who was like a mentor, but I couldn't get any traction with it. Yeah. It was clear. It wasn't painful. It was like, oh, it was so clear.
Just like, oh, this isn't working.
And then I just said, okay, so the process of reinventing yourself, I realized, doesn't have to be like a 180. I was like, I don't have to completely reinvent myself. So what is it that I love just right now that I put so much of myself into, right? And then I was like, oh, teaching kids how to write. That's like totally my jam. And so I thought, well, maybe I can make it work because it's something that folks really need help with. It's really oftentimes where, and from my special ed background, I was working in a not a special ed environment, although, you know, kids are different learners in any classroom you go to, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, there's so many times where language arts, it's where the rubber hits the road for like language arts and executive function issues.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like both my specialties. And mm-hmm. so I was already doing that all the time. You know, I organized my whole classroom around side-by-side conferencing, writing conferencing. That's how I organized my whole classroom. Well, writing. I taught history too. And so then I thought, well, maybe I can do that.
When you say executive functioning, what does that mean?
That means like the parts to the whole, like how you organize the world around you, and are you kind of like how you have your organization skills in the world.
Okay.
And so like context, seeing your time, it can be with anything like, oh, you think something's going to take 10 minutes, but it actually takes 45 minutes,
not so good
or
at that.
I don't know where to start this. Like I see how the big picture should look, but I don't know how to put together those parts to the whole. And if you think about writing,
yes.
It's 100% that, right?
Yeah.
So I started to notice this correlation between, you know, where that is really like a point of connection between those worlds of how we move through the world. And I was already kind of well-versed in it from all my years of work and all my different capacities of work. And I was like, oh, maybe I can just do this and I can get the joy of my like daily work life all the time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I love, I'm also very community oriented. So I love working in a school and I was working in the greatest school, but I also was like, what is my daily thing that I'm doing here that if I could switch it, I would like to hold on to that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that kind of like seated next to somebody and working through things. And I'm also obsessed with storytelling and stories, and that's what writing is mm-hmm. finding your story inside of you, and how do you articulate that? How do you put it together? So here I am. I'm now, this will be my fourth year, third and a half year. So far, so good, touch wood.
Yeah, yeah, something.
So I hope. You know, I hope I can keep making a go of it.
That's amazing.
Terrifying.
That sounds really cool. Yeah, but you're like almost 4 years in, so it must be feeling a little more stable.
I think for like a normal person, it probably would. But for one of, like, I'm like such a worrier and almost like a worst case scenario person, which I'm trying to shift in my own life, because why be there if you don't have to be?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, right now it's very successful. I love the families I work with. I get to go back to my old school and work mm-hmm. with kids there during the day. Like, I'm so grateful to still be a part of that vibrant community. And I'm learning a lot about myself. And I have time, you know, my schedule it's unusual day schedule. So, like, I have time to, like, steal a swim or go to Winnie's yoga class.
Right.
When I met Winnie, I essentially arranged, like, my whole work schedule around her class.
Wow.
This year. I was like, I can't not go to this class. It's changing me from the inside out.
It's so good, right? Oh, my God.
It's so deep. And that work is something so specific to what I need to make that shift to becoming less of a nervous Nelly in the world and less having, like, I have a lot of, like, anxiety. I think it's, like, inherited anxiety or mm-hmm. something. I don't even know where it comes from. Well, mm-hmm. I do know where it comes from. But, and so I'm trying to shift away from that and just be in life.
Yeah, and her class, I would imagine, would be
don't
very
you think
helpful.
Her class is so helpful for that?
Oh, absolutely. I guess I can be anxious. I'm not, like, a high-level anxious person, but the thing that I guess I get from her class is the grounding and the focus. That's what I lack in my life. Like, sometimes I'm just, like, looking at my computer, looking at my phone, looking at the window, looking at that. Like, I'm just so scattered that I really get that sense of, like, focus and direction. She talks about direction so much, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Plus, whatever she's doing right now with our hips is something deep, is like an emotional, something that's happening inside, like the thing that she introduced me to inside of my body, like my glutes and my hips is deeply connected to my emotional experience right now. And I'm finding it crucial. Like, I'm like, oh. So there's something that's happening inside me that's also, like, connected to, like, a more esoteric emotional or experience I'm having of moving through the world.
Well,
that's pretty
like
woo-woo.
She says, no, but that, like, that was the title of her podcast that she did with me, is How the Practical Leads to the Mystical.
That is it.
It's like, it's sort of undefinable, or it's not something you can easily describe, but it's like, you feel it for sure.
And her class is very, very challenging to me. Mm-hmm. And so I also have that, like, I love that yoga class, but every single time I get on the mat before class, I'm like, can I do it?
Really?
You know, I have that, like, oh, can I even do this? And of course I can once I start, and I think that's, like, also something that's bigger than me right now is, like, doing things I think are scary.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of them. I mean, it's just a yoga class. Like, obviously, I'm going to make it through the hour and a half. And, like, if I need to, like, go to the bathroom or get a drink of water, I can split for a minute, right? But that happens every single before every class. I'm like...
Okay, so that is... I mean, her class is very challenging for sure, but that actually surprises me.
Really?
Because, which is a good segue into, like, you swim in the freaking Pacific
Ocean.
But
that's
so,
the same thing.
But is it, like, if you can do that, like, it seems like physically you would feel like you can do anything, you know?
It's true. And there's some truth to that. But I have to say, every single time I march down to the shore in my
you do.
Bathing suit, I'm every single time. Doesn't matter if it's 7:30 in the morning and it's 47 degrees, or it's, you know, noon on a Sunday and it's 70 degrees out. I'm like, why am I doing this? Like,
really?
This is insane.
Oh,
I don't want to get in.
How long have you been doing it? How many years?
It must be 8 years now.
Oh, my God. And you still have that
every
thought.
Single time.
Oh, my God.
There
is
not
is
one time that I don't.
How do you not give up? Like, how one
oh,
day are you not just kind
so
of like...
so good.
It's so... Oh, my God.
It's so good.
Okay. Explain that. How is it good? Like, can you, like, explain how it makes you feel?
Well, like I said, I have sort of, like, generalized anxiety almost all the time. Even though I'm, like, funny and I make a lot of fun of it, it's there.
Yeah.
But when I go into the water, it's very, very cold. And so that is really helpful. Like your whole body is having a different experience than it has when you're walking in your footsteps all day long. And then it's kind of hilarious also to do it because it's so ridiculously cold.
Right.
And then you're just not thinking about all that other crap that you think about all day long.
Because you probably can't, right?
No, you can't.
You have to think about
staying
afloat.
And then it's so beautiful. You know, it's so beautiful. And it really helps to give you, it gives me a perspective on my place in the universe, which is, you know, minuscule.
Wow.
And so that real, like, it's a very clear perspective. And it's very humbling. You know, the ocean is very Mother Divine. She's humbling. She'll humble you.
Imagine.
And so that's also, I just have so much like gratitude and respect at being out there. It's very, very, very spiritual. Definitely my church. And also then afterward, you're very high. There's an amazing endorphin rush. And you don't have to swim far for that effect. Like I have friends, I'm like, just get in and buff about for a little bit. Like it'll just gives you a big reset. And so then afterward, I'm like, oh, that was great. You know, like never, not once have I come out of the ocean and like been like,
I wished I hadn't done that. Right.
Never, ever. So of all of the things in our daily life, for me, that is a very consistently, it's going to give me that result. Whereas a lot of other things, it's kind of a crapshoot, right?
Right.
So.
Right. Oh, my God. So take me back to the first time you ever did it.
Well, I have a friend, Julieta, who was like, you should come into the ocean. And I was all, you know, I come from Miami Beach, Florida.
Okay, yeah, that's the other thing. Is you grew up near an ocean that was warm.
Yes. I swam before I walked.
Wow.
Yes. I swam in high school. I played water polo. I swam in the ocean all the time. So when I moved here in 1991, I was all, what? This is like cruel. This is so, what kind of a joke is this? It's horrible.
That like whole ocean is there and it's so
horrible.
Inhospitable.
I never, ever went in. I don't. The beach, it's windy and cold and the sand is so gross and not Miami Beach, right?
Right.
Yeah. And so when my friend Julieta invited me, I was all, I don't know. And she's like, it's fun. We have a really fun group of people. Like, you should come. You'd like it. And I went on an evening. We do a solstice swim. So I went for a solstice swim. It was winter, it was cold, it was evening, and it was like kind of overwhelming. There was a whole group of people, and it was overwhelming. And I did it, like I went and I swam, and I had been swimming like with a master's program and getting up early in the morning, and I swam in an outdoor pool at 5:30 in the morning. So I was like, oh, I'll probably be able to do this. And I did, but I did not get that feeling of like, yes. And I was like, I don't know about this. And so, you know, then we had snacks up on the deck. I swim at China Beach. And I didn't go back for like a year.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, all right, that was interesting. That was kind of intense. And then I don't know what brought me back when I did. But then the next time that I went back, maybe it was an afternoon. I can't even remember that next time. But, you know, the first time I was, like, wearing my Speedo and I didn't know. And then the next time I was like, oh, everyone's in a bikini. I'm like, I want to rock a bikini. And so then I had, like, my bikini on. And then I was like, okay. And I had fins. And, you know, I still had my swim cap on that first time and stuff. But then I don't know. I went in and it was, like, amazing. And that was it. It just was that one time I was like, oh, this is killer.
Okay. Are you telling me that you do not wear a wetsuit?
Correct.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm picturing you in a wetsuit this whole time. Because that would be hard to swim in probably, right?
But you can swim in a wetsuit, and some folks do.
Okay, why do you not?
Because that's the whole, like, body thing.
God, it's making my body hurt just thinking about it right now. Oh, my God.
The cold is definitely part of it, which for me is very surprising that I would go for that. But it's part of, like, the deep mental therapy.
Wow.
It's deep.
Wow.
It's fun.
Wow. So, oh my God.
And it's a whole crew. I swim with like a bunch of
very
interesting. I have a great pod.
I bet. Yeah. I bet they're like the most badass people ever.
They're hilarious.
Is it women and men?
Yeah. Women and men and elders. Like I swim with like, I have some elders that I just hope I want to be like them when I grow up, you know, it's just really, it's the fountain of youth.
Really? Well, you know, I've heard people talk about like flotation therapy.
Is
there an element of that to it? Like that feeling of floating?
Yeah, I mean, being in the sea, you know, it always feels so good to like be in that salt water.
Yeah, unless it's really freaking cold.
It's cold.
Too cold that you can't go in?
No.
And what's the temperature approximately?
I think it's around 51 or 52 right now. So it fluctuates like between like, you know, our water is getting warmer. There's no doubt about it. And so in past years, it's fluctuated like between, I would say, 47 or 48. And then we had a weird summer a few years back where it was maybe 67 out there,
which is
very
weird.
Warm and unusual. But then you have that range. You know, winter is colder. Like, there's a lot of wind and there's upwelling. The water's cold. But it's great.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How often do you go?
Right now, I go 5 days a week if I can right now.
Whoa.
I go every day. You know, in the summer, sometimes I can get on, like, a real streak. Like, 30 days.
Really?
Or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, my
God. Made it every day.
That is incredible.
But
do you,
life gets in the way.
Yeah. You must feel so good in your body. Like, you must feel so in shape. I mean,
sometimes.
I mean, cardiovascularly.
Yeah, I can swim,
like,
but I can't run, for instance.
Really?
Oh my goodness, no! I mean, maybe if someone was chasing me, I could like make it a mile.
That's so funny. I mean, I'm an okay swimmer. Like, I can swim, but if I swim in a pool for exercise, I feel like I'm just dying. Like, it's really difficult cardiovascularly, right? Like.
You get used to whatever sport it is that you do.
Your body.
So my body's just really used to my breathing pattern.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I could swim for a really long time. I'm slow, but I could swim for a long time.
Do you ever do like Escape from Alcatraz or any of those races?
I've done Alcatraz a couple times.
Really?
I don't like to swim on the bayside if I can avoid it.
Okay.
I did just do a big swim with them with a bunch of folks from my pod, and we did a big swim across America. We swam for cancer, and we raised a ton of money. It was awesome.
Oh, that is so cool.
Yeah, it was great. And we that's the first time I've ever swam right under the bridge. So we get dropped off at the Golden Gate Bridge, and we swam back to the, well, like Chrissy Field somewhere. It was
you
fun.
You swam under
across.
The...
Well, we got dropped off by the bridge, and then we swam east, just straight back to the shore. That was fun.
Do you typically swim with other people? Do you ever swim alone?
I sometimes swim alone, yeah.
Really? Is that ever scary or?
Not anymore.
No?
Mm-mm.
Don't people say you're not supposed, like people say you're not supposed to surf alone?
True.
Or like, yeah, but do the waves ever get so big that it's like intimidating or?
Yes.
And then do you?
Sometimes I can't get in. This winter I got turned away. A bunch.
Oh, really? Because the waves were just too big.
Huge. Remember there was like a few weeks of like crazy swell.
Yeah.
And the waves
crazy. Because we could see them coming over the pier here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tried, couldn't get in.
Oh my gosh.
You know, live.
So you're actually like walking out there trying or you're just looking at it? You're just, you're physically.
Like gone down to shore and like been like, all right, can't do it. Can't get in. But then some of my swim friends like could get in. But like for me, I'm like, I just can't. Like it's not in, you have to know like what you feel you can handle. Once you get past the shore break, it's pretty much all the same out there, right? It's getting in and out. So I'm not, it's a very good opportunity to like leave your ego at the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like the more practice that with that, that's better for me because I have a lot of like, you know, like ego chatter in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes like that's good exercise. Like, okay, not today.
Right.
Just walk away.
Right. Is there anything that you could pinpoint that all of your pod, as you called it, like that they have in common? I mean, obviously they all swim in the ocean, but is there some kind of like personality trait or anything like that?
I don't think so. We're all pretty friendly.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's funny. That's an interesting thought. I don't know. That's an interesting question. I don't know if there's any one thing.
Are they all from like different walks of life?
Totally.
Like all different careers?
Yes.
And
careers, artists, retires. I mean, the eldest is 75 and the youngest are the moms who just had babies and they swam their whole pregnancies, you know,
Whoa.
Who like swam big bellied and those babies were born coming out of that water, you know, whose mom swam up until like the last moments.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That is so impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. I mean, walking while 9 months pregnant is a challenge, let alone.
Well, I think swimming is, it feels good.
Oh,
I right?
bet. Yeah.
You know,
I would imagine.
Because swimming feels good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it feels, it's a relief.
Yeah. That way you would feel buoyant because how often do you feel that way when you're so heavy, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And you see, you have two children, the girl and a boy.
I have a 14-year-old and a 17-year-old, almost 15, almost 18.
Wow. Okay. And what do they think of your swimming?
Oh, they think it's great. When they were younger, they came with me all the time. Now they're like, all right, Mom, see ya.
They came with you and hung out on the beach, or?
Hung out on the beach, or both of them have swum out to the first swimming spot stop. Yeah.
Oh,
Ava,
wow.
A bunch of times, actually. My daughter's gone swimming with me. A bunch.
Yeah, does
my
she
son,
like
it? He's just getting in it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll be addicted like you?
I don't know. Right now, they are like, okay, Mom.
Yeah.
Drop me off around the corner. You
right.
know, like,
right.
But maybe.
But they think, I bet they think you're pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
They must think you're badass.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
I would say badassery is a trait that my swim friends have.
There
you
go.
For sure.
Yes. Yeah.
But also a good sense of humor. You have to have a good sense of humor to do it, really. Because there's some hilarity to the whole thing.
Because you're just being, like, kind of tossed around out there, or?
Just, like, getting in. I mean, it's just to do it, you know?
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Too.
Why is it
I don't
funny
know.
Though?
It always makes me
is
laugh.
It, really?
Yeah. Because I'm like, this is crazy.
Yeah. Like, why am I doing this crazy
But then
thing?
Afterward, you're like, ah. That's
yeah.
why.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah. It's great. And it's, you know, nature's so important.
Yeah.
I'm a big walker too. I feel so lucky for where we live and we get to walk and
yeah.
be so close.
I've actually been walking a lot more lately because of this whole virus thing.
It's the best.
And it's very calming. It's relaxing.
And don't you find even when you walk by the sea, it's just, you know, it takes off all your negative ions. It's a game changer.
Yeah.
Just being in proximity to the sea
is
really, I don't know.
Even being able to look at it is so nice. And I feel so lucky that we
can you hear it from here?
I don't think we can. Sometimes I'm not sure if it's the traffic from the one or if it's the ocean. So I just tell myself it's the ocean.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Because it's like white noise sort of.
Yeah.
But I feel like if we ever moved anywhere else in Pacifica, I'm like, we have to be able to look at the ocean. Like I'm so spoiled by it now.
Yeah, you are. But I can't see the ocean from my house.
We got lucky, and I don't know if we'll ever get that lucky again.
But the air is good here.
Yeah.
You know, it's like an air purifier.
Yeah.
Everything about it is purifying. And
it
then
is.
That's where I do all my, like, prayers. You know, every time, the whole time I'm swimming, I'm just casting my intentions and my prayers. And I swear that water is an amplifier.
Really?
And, like, yes. Like, and then we circle up, and we have a group. So we have our group circle all the time out there and we just voice our gratitude. And if anyone has anyone they need to throw into the circle, we pray up for them. And it's just
Aww.
So, it's really great.
Is that like, is that sort of is it religious? Like,
no.
Or it's just like a.
Oh no, not religious at all. It's mostly
like
profane. I would say, there you go, we're also a profane bunch. There's
That's
another
awesome.
Trait.
I love it.
Oh, no. Yeah. But, you know, many of us, like, I brought my dad's ashes out there. You know, I swam out with him, like, in a baggie. though, like in my bikini. Wow. Yeah. So there's plenty of us who have like brought ashes out and circled up and yeah.
Wow. Can you talk more about the, like when you're, like you said, you're sort of praying when you're out there.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Is it sort of a meditation?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
For me, yeah, super, I'm on like a loop.
And are you like thinking about stuff or are
people,
you?
People, yeah. Yes. If I know that someone's going through something, like they're on my list, right?
Oh, that's nice.
Or I have just my like daily meditation of what I'm trying to manifest or just giving gratitude, just like to be there in the water. And it's so, I'm so grateful to, and I just to try to wash it off, whatever I need to wash off, you know?
Oh, I love that.
That's great. You should come.
Yeah. Oh my God. I don't
just
know.
Hop in.
I can't even imagine getting in a wetsuit. Well, I have surfed like a handful of times.
See, I don't surf.
You know, I was going to ask you, you don't surf?
No, I have no idea how to surf.
I don't either.
I don't know what
I've
to
tried
do.
It, but I don't, I'm terrible at it.
That would be so scary to me, like having to deal with it's enough to have to deal with my fins. Like, I don't think I could deal with like a whole surfboard. And like, how do you carry it out there? And
yeah.
What do you do with it? I do not think I could do it.
It is.
I'm not an adrenaline person. So like coming down the face of a wave would terrify me.
Yeah, it's like a speed thing.
I like to be like slow and steady.
Do you use fins on your hand?
No, on my feet.
Oh, on your feet, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Some people use those, but that's more like a body surfing thing, but right?
Oh yeah,
like
I think that's a body surfing thing. I do not body surf.
You just
terrified of body surfing.
Really?
Yeah.
So you just get out past the waves
as
and
fast
then,
as
and
I
then
can.
Swim. And that you mentioned that you don't like to swim on the bay side.
Oh,
why
yeah.
is that? Is it like dirtier?
Well, it's dirtier. It's smelly. And like you get out and you like have bay beard, like you're covered in green stuff. The ocean side, my spot in the ocean is so beautiful. It's very clean and open.
Is that because it's getting like flushed in and out all the time? Like the clean water? Oh,
because
okay.
it's not closed in, right? The
right.
It's closed in.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
But it is fun to, like, go swim at one of the swim clubs and get to take a hot shower after in a sauna.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we don't even have running water at our beach.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So you just go,
and
like, then you come home all just in the salt water.
Yeah, like, we have our towels and, like, put on our clothes, and then I go to work.
Really?
Yeah.
With the salt water and everything?
Yeah.
Oh,
I bring,
God.
Like, a milk bottle filled with water, and I rinse off.
The city should provide you with a shower.
Well, the showers, the water got shut off at China Beach a few years ago, and that's that.
Why? You don't know why? Or
I don't know. Supposedly it was like leaking or something.
Oh, no.
It's fine.
You're fine with your with your water bottle?
I'm fine. We're all in my groove. Yeah.
Do you have any way that you, like, prepare for a swim? Do you, like, eat anything special or drink lots of water or...
No, I swim usually early in the morning. I usually swim empty.
Oh, okay, before eating anything and first thing in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't feel starving?
Mm-hmm. Oh, afterward.
But I bet afterward, like, whatever you...
You know, it is like you go swimming even for like 5 minutes and you're, like,
you're
starving.
Yes.
I'm like, I could eat a horse.
Yeah,
yeah,
totally.
That's how it is afterward.
Do you eat, like, do you have any special diet or anything?
No.
Do you just, not, like, whatever?
Well, I'm gluten intolerant. It gives me a rash. But besides that, I eat everything. I'm an omnivore.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're so youthful, so I think you really have discovered the fountain of youth.
That, and you know, you got to hang on to your immaturity.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm really good at that, I think, actually.
Yeah, me too. And working with kids is great.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Totally.
I'm like, that's hilarious. Like, you know, I love a good, like, middle school joke.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, and I don't know if I've talk to you about that. We have a 19. He's like sleeping in there right now. He can sleep through like World War III. Don't worry. I really like having him around and his friends. They're hilarious.
I love teenagers.
I was, until I had one, I was kind of terrified of them. Like if they were walking down the sidewalk, I'd probably cross the street and go on the other side because I was like,
teenagers.
I don't know what's going to happen. But they're so like hilarious. And I've never, none of his friends have ever like been behaved the way I sort of imagined teenagers would behave, like when I didn't know any. You know, they're all great.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's, and you have two in your home.
I
right
do
now.
Have two teenage roommates.
How are they as roommates?
you know, they could pick up after themselves a little bit better.
A little bit.
They're pretty great. Oh my gosh. So they're funny. Great. My kids are really great. And I have been really happy that I can, like, share my experience of swimming in the sea with them, you know? And I think when we raise our kids, like, especially as women, it's really important for our kids to see us take chances and to work hard, you know, and to do things that they are scary or they are, you have your special thing that is really important to you, you know? And so I think that's really important, whatever it is, whether it's your dance or yoga or your, you know, whatever art you make or whatever it is. I think it's so important for our kids to know that that's a really nourishing part of life. So I feel lucky for that. And also, you know, my husband has a dog walking business. It's just him, you know, and I've got my small business that's just me. And I think it's important for your kids to see that you do something you love and that you can find a way to do it, right? And whether or not it's scary, you know, or maybe even whether or not it'll work out, but giving it a whirl, right?
Yeah. That it's so interesting because I feel like, I don't know if it's a generational thing or, but I feel like my mother and my dad, you know, they sort of kept, I don't know if it's because of what they did or just because of my perception, but I kind of just always believed they existed to raise me. Like I, you know, like I didn't see their like passions or their fears or their, you know, like real parts of life when I came to them. And I think it's amazing when you can let them in because, you know, it's got to make for a more nourishing and, you know, well-rounded or whatever, you know, relationship and a model for them, right?
But don't you think we're lucky? I feel like we're in a time now where we do have that opportunity. I mean, even just sitting here to talk to you and it's podcast and that's your whole jam is like, hey, ladies, let's talk about what it is to age.
Yeah.
And to mature.
Yeah.
And what does it look like? And what does it feel like? And what are you thinking? And what are you doing? And what do you care about? And how are you taking care of yourself?
Yeah.
Because everyone has their different thing, you know? Yeah. And I think we have more voice than we have ever had. And so also, you know, you have a daughter. I have a daughter. Like, it's fascinating to me to have a daughter and to, I'm so enamored with who she is in the world, if only because it's such a different time than when I grew up. And she is such a free thinker and she's so intelligent and in the world.
Like as a good,
in the world.
Head on her shoulders.
Yes. And
like,
she's a woman, you know, and your daughter's going to be a woman too.
I know. It's crazy to imagine.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
We're lucky. And so I don't think our parents had that same opportunity.
No. And I guess it was a societal thing. Also kind of a geographic thing too. Like the West Coast is different.
I think absolutely. All of the above.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have like my whole family conversation with you, which would have to be like a whole nother podcast.
Okay.
Episode.
That'll be part two.
Because it's not, we're really lucky to get to be who we are.
Yeah. No, I think you're so right. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and I feel like, societal pressures were different then. I also feel like they come in now. I'm just thinking of this example that happened last night when I did this thing. I do this thing to Frida's hair where I like twist it. I put it in these like buns. And then when she takes it out in the morning, it's like all curly, you know, because her hair is pretty straight-ish. And so last night I decided to, I was like, oh, I'll do it too. Because I usually don't take a shower at night. My hair was all wet. I was like, I'll do it too. So I put it all up. And she's like, Mommy, I can see your white hair. Because all my roots, you know, like it's at my temples.
Yes.
And she's like, Mommy, I can see your white hair. And she's kind of upset. And I was like, well, does that make you upset? She's like, yeah, can you make it dark, please? She's like upset. And I'm like, wow, like she's only 7 years old. But somehow like society or me, I like has told her that it's like not really cool to have white hair, or it's scary to have white hair, or it's like a different identity than what she sees me as to have white hair. And I was like, oh my God, like,
it's well, so she's also young, and so she's probably just finding her way through all of that. Like,
yeah,
what is all of that? You know, like, I do not wear makeup. I never have, and makeup's, it's a little bit like skiing. You don't start it when you're old, right? So I'm like, I don't even know how to put on makeup. I don't know how to, like, look at myself in the mirror with makeup. I'm clueless. But my daughter loves wearing makeup. And I think, so we never had that together, you mm-hmm. know, because I was like, I just don't know what to do. Like, I don't have any makeup to hand down to you.
Right.
You
like, know? I have like, no I lessons have no for idea. You in that department.
She's got me on that for sure. But it's, you know, you're giving your daughter an amazing feminist world to grow up in, and she's navigating it, right?
Yeah.
Like, they have to navigate, and they become their own people. It's wild. Yeah.
I know. And then she just, it's the thing that she comes home and she's like, talks about having like her best friend, and I'm like, just imagining her creating relationships out there on her own doing stuff. It's so crazy. And it's just going to get more and more like mind blowing. I can tell.
Right.
Yeah. But you know, I just wanted the makeup thing that you just said. So the hilarious thing is, so the podcast that's going to be live next week, a week from yesterday, actually, she has an online shop called Becklina, like super, super fashion forward shop online. But she said that she never started wearing makeup until like she was like 45.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you can start it when you're older.
How did she learn how to do it?
Well, she doesn't wear a lot. It's just kind of like a little like foundation. And she said she discovered like eyebrows, like doing a little too. You have such amazing eyebrows that you don't need to do anything to your eyebrows.
Yeah.
You're lucky because it makes you, it like really helps you look youthful, actually. You know, when you have
Also like my esthetician who does my eyebrows, shout out to Lisa Askew at Fix Studios. She's like, Andy, you need to like get a facial every quarter. And I'm like, what? Like, a facial is like the biggest treat on planet Earth.
Yeah.
But then I thought about it. She's like, well, you've got one face. And I was like, oh. So now I'm trying to be better. Like, she's got me like on a moisturizing regimen. She gave me this balm to put on before I go in the water.
Oh, so to protect
like,
it?
Yes, because nice. She's like, that salt water, it's, you know, it's like drying, right? And as we're drying up as middle-aged women.
Yes.
And so now I'm like, oh, I try to like get my facial, and I don't look at it as much of as like a luxurious treat as like, this is something good for you. That you're doing to like
a protection
kind on of, your like, largest organ, your skin.
Yeah.
You know? And so I'm trying to like
Well, you'll have to tell me what the balm is.
Oh, I can't remember what I'll let you know what it's.
Not that
it's
I.
It's their balm. It's great. You can use it like as a facial cleanser, I think, too. But I just literally put it on before I go in the sea, and then I don't think about it.
Nice.
I think it must come off.
Well, your skin looks amazing.
Well,
so
thank you.
You're doing something right.
I also love the sun.
Oh, really?
Oh my God. Like, I love nothing more than to like.
Oh, that's the Miami.
In the sun.
Miami girl in you.
So I'm sure I'll look like a leather bag in no time, but I just don't care.
Well, you would by now if you were gonna. I feel like.
I don't know.
Do you not wear sunscreen? Do you wear sunscreen in the ocean?
No, I do wear sunscreen. I do. Well, I often swim really early in the morning, so therefore I don't. But when I'm in the sun, I do. But I grew up a whole lifetime with no sunscreen.
Oh, same here.
Because there was no sunscreen.
Yeah. No one cared about it. I have pictures of me laying out in the sun with no sunscreen, except for maybe some oil to make you tanner.
Baby oil.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
To make you more tan. My mom would get so dark, and we loved it. We'd like... compete to see who could be darker.
That's another thing about my swim pod. We're obsessed with tanning.
Really?
Yes.
So you're all trying to get like tanner than the next? Oh, that's hilarious. Oh my God. That is awesome. Yeah. Oh, I might want to go swimming with you just to meet your pod.
You should
they sound so fun.
We're
a
very friendly group.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, there's so, you got to find the things that keep you mentally sane, right?
Like
healthy, happy.
Yeah, it sounds like you've found it.
Because the rest is just shit.
Yeah.
For the most part.
That's so true.
Like, oh my God, it's terrifying out there.
And luckily, you can probably still, like this whole virus thing wouldn't limit swimming. I wouldn't. At least in the ocean?
I think swimming in the ocean is like good for your immune system.
Yeah.
It's going to wash everything off.
Yeah. And it's not like there's like a big crowd of people out there. No. You're like on your own.
There's not a big crowd of people out there.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, Andy, thank you so much for taking the time. This has been so fun. Like I know you better now. And I
ditto.
Now I might want to swim in the ocean. I'm not sure.
Yes.
But yeah, thank you so much. This was so fun.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to the Mean Podcast. Please check out the online magazine at www.meanmagazine.com and get in touch if you or someone you know should be featured in the magazine or on the podcast.